Hello and welcome to Venezuela Analysis Radio and our 88th headline report. I'm Michael Fox, and these are the headline news from Venezuela from July 24th through August 7th, 2009. We kick these headlines off with big media news over the last week in Venezuela. The head of Venezuela's telecommunications agency, Conatel, and Infrastructure Minister Diosdado Cabello announced last weekend the immediate closure of 32 privately owned Venezuelan radio stations and two regional television stations. According to Cabello, their broadcast licenses had expired or they had violated regulations. The minister said many of the stations were operating illegally and had failed to register or pay fees to Conatel. He added that their recuperated licenses will be handed over to community media. Nelson Belfort is the president of the Chamber of Radio Broadcasters in the Caracas-based Circuito Nacional Belfort, which owns five of the closed radio stations. He said he would appeal the decision, and he described the move as a government attack that aims to limit freedom of expression. Minister Cabello denied this and said that those affected can continue transmitting their programs through the internet, as the measure only applies to the use of the state-owned airwaves. Cabello said that powerful families in Venezuela had acquired many of the radio stations illegally and formed media conglomerations where nearly 30 families controlled a third of the television and radio waves. According to the minister, many of those affected own 10 to 20 stations. Cabello explained that new reforms to the telecommunications law aim to break up the conglomerations by limiting ownership of radio or television stations to three per private owner. Meanwhile, this week, National Assembly representatives responded to claims by the private, international, and national media that Venezuela is discussing a media law which denies freedom of expression and punishes journalists. Representatives said that no such law proposal exists, only a discussion around how to combat the, quote, media dictatorship and media terrorism. National Assembly legislator Rosario Checo said that so far, the draft of the law considers media crime the publication of false, manipulative, or distorted information that causes harm to the interests of the state or that threatens public morale or mental health. The Assembly has discussed a maximum penalty of 4 years in prison. Journalist Asalia Venegas told Venezuelan television that the law project incorporates everything that is expressed in the law of journalist practice and the code of ethics. Nevertheless, opposition and international media have suggested that the Venezuelan government supports jail for media crime and is trying to regulate or limit free speech, which National Assembly representatives quickly deny. Meanwhile, still in media news, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez announced on Tuesday that suspect Lina Ron had been arrested for her presumed participation in a tear gas attack on the private television channel Globovisión in Caracas this week. On Monday morning, a small group of people identified with Lina Ron's pro-Chavez United for Venezuela party were filmed firing tear gas into the Globovisión offices and clashing with police before making their getaway on motorcycles. The attack occurred the day after the announcement of the closure of the private stations. While the Venezuelan state has been clear that it is willing to revoke Globovisión's broadcast license due to its continuous violations of Venezuelan law, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez said he will not tolerate these types of violent actions by anyone. It is believed that the attack may have been a revenge attack for an act of vandalism by opposition supporters against a community radio station in the municipality of Santiago Mariño in the early hours of Monday morning. On to political news. The new electoral law was approved by the National Assembly late last week. Among its more than 200 articles, the law recognizes both list-based and single-candidate voting, makes every voter eligible for staffing voter booths, details fines for a range of electoral crimes, and creates new electoral districts. The law also goes into minute detail about nomination requirements, the voting process, election of indigenous representatives, electoral propaganda, and media coverage of elections and election results. Basically, under the new law, individual positions such as president or governor will be elected based on overall majority. However, positions to legislative and municipal councils will be based on a parallel system with the ability to vote for both lists of positions grouped politically or according to organization, which would then be elected proportionally. The new law of electoral processes replaces the previous electoral laws. It applies to all electoral events in the country, including referendums, legislative elections, citizen assemblies, and the elections of public positions. In news on local democracy, 2 weeks ago, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez announced that $40 million would be added to the budget of the youth organization Francisco de Miranda Front to help organize the communal councils into communes over the second half of this year. The Miranda Front, which recently celebrated the 6th anniversary of its founding, will be expected to promote the formation of communes which are formed by joining roughly 10 communal councils. It will also be expected to carry out diagnoses of community needs and contribute to the April 13th social mission, which was set up to fight poverty. Chavez said the commune should be the territorial base that gives life to socialism, According to the government's Foundation for the Development and Promotion of Communal Power, Funda Comunal, over 30,000 communal councils have been formed in Venezuela since 2006. In manufacturing news, this week the Venezuelan government temporarily occupied the processing plants of two of the largest coffee producers in Venezuela, Fama de America and Café Madrid. The companies are suspected of hoarding, speculation, and smuggling contraband coffee into neighboring Colombia in order to avoid Venezuelan price controls. The plants process 350,000 quintals of coffee per year, roughly 70% of Venezuela's total coffee production. The plants will be occupied for a period of 3 months. In technology news, in a positive development for environmentalists, last week Movilnet, the cell phone division of Venezuela's national telecommunications company Cantive, released the country's first cell phone made from recycled plastic bottles and equipped with a solar energy charger. Movilnet president Jacqueline Faria said last week that the new phone helps reduce energy consumption and prevents environmental damage caused by discarded phones. Faria said the new phone was manufactured with 20% less energy than any other and is part of Movilnet's Cellular Conscious campaign. Venezuela has a population of 27 million people and a number of roughly just over one active cell phone per person. Still in technology news last week, the Venezuelan Education Ministry began its Project Canaima program to provide primary schools with mini laptops and incorporate this technology into the education system. When the school semester begins in September, the ministry anticipates providing 50,000 laptop computers to over 1,100 schools nationally. The batch is the first in a total of 350,000 computers that Portugal has agreed to send to Venezuela as part of an oil trading agreement between the two countries. Venezuela hopes to set up its own assembly plant for the mini laptops as part of a technology transfer agreement. The computers will run on the Linux-free software operating system. The Education Ministry, together with the National Center for Information Technology, are working to design education programs for the computers. In international relations, this Tuesday evening, Venezuela's Supreme Court denied Spain's request for the extradition of a presumed former member of the Basque independence organization ETA, Iñaki Echeverria. Spain charged Echeverria with attempted homicide during a 1993 incident in the European country. On Tuesday, the Venezuelan Supreme Court ruled the extradition impermissible because, according to Venezuelan law, the necessary period in which to try Echeverria for the crime had expired. Echeverria is a legal permanent resident of Venezuela who has lived in the country for over a dozen years and fled what he and his supporters say was political persecution of Basque leaders by the Spanish government. He currently works in a steel factory in Cojedes State. The announcement comes just days after government officials and business executives from Venezuela and Spain met in Caracas last week to sign agreements for joint oil, gas, and thermoelectricity production. They also discussed indemnity payments for the Bank of Venezuela, which Venezuela nationalized last year. The Venezuelan government also condemned the recent car bomb attack on the Spanish Civil Guard barracks. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez called the meetings refreshing. Spanish Foreign Relations Minister Miguel Ángel Moratino said the meetings were extremely fruitful and would strengthen our bilateral relations even further. Still in international relations, but now on to a fragile situation between Venezuela and Colombia. Last week, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez ordered the withdrawal of the Venezuelan ambassador and diplomatic staff from Colombia following U.S. military buildup in the neighboring country and Colombia's accusations that Venezuela had supplied the Colombian FARC guerrillas with weapons. Chavez also said the government would examine Venezuela's economic relations with Colombia and the possibility of substituting imports from their neighbor with those from other countries. He warned that if Colombia continued verbally attacking Venezuela, they would, quote, end our relations in every respect. In response to Chavez's pronouncements, José Insulza, General Secretary of the Organization of American States, called on the two countries not to retaliate economically and offered the services of the organization to facilitate dialogue. The breakdown of relations came on the heels of insinuations by Colombian Vice President Francisco Santos that Venezuela is providing weapons to Colombian guerrillas. Venezuelan Foreign Relations Minister Nicolas Maduro quickly denounced the statements as a dirty campaign to justify the presence of U.S. military bases in the neighboring country. 2 weeks ago, Colombia confirmed that it had authorized the U.S. to install several military bases in Colombian territory. In response, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez announced that Venezuela will strengthen its fleet of armored vehicles and increase its military presence along its border with Colombia. Colombian President Álvaro Uribe said his government does not plan to attack Venezuela, only Colombian guerrilla rebels. Nonetheless, Chavez warned a group of Venezuelan military officers during a ceremony at Fort Tiuna in Caracas that the U.S. military buildup in Colombia would likely bring more, quote, mercenaries, spy planes, the CIA, and paramilitaries to South America. The president also asked about why Venezuelan opposition leaders, including the mayor of metropolitan Caracas and the governors of two states on the border with Colombia, had met with White House officials in Washington, D.C. earlier in the week, shortly after the Honduran elite had carried out a military coup and the U.S. was increasing its military presence in Colombia. Speaking of Honduras, where a coup d'etat knocked democratically elected President Manuel Zelaya from office in late June and sent him packing to Costa Rica, just under 2 weeks ago, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Philip Crawley said in a press conference that the military coup that ousted Zelaya should serve as a lesson for the Honduran president to steer clear of Venezuela's Bolivarian Revolution and President Hugo Chavez. Crawley also accused Venezuela of intervening in Honduran affairs. Venezuela demands the unconditional restoration of Zelaya to power and has called on the United States to take a firm stance in support of this. The U.S. has cut off $18 million in economic aid to Honduras but refuses to define the coup as a coup d'etat, which would mandate the U.S. to cut off the rest of its aid to the country, totaling $180 million U.S. And that's all from Venezuela Analysis Radio from July 24th through August 7th, 2009. For more information or for the complete stories, you can visit VenezuelaAnalysis.com, where you can also sign up for our podcasts. Also, Venezuela Analysis needs your support like never before. People like you can help keep us online and with all the latest news and information from Venezuela. So please consider either making a one-time donation or becoming a Venezuela Analysis sustainer today. You can do so on our website by clicking on Donate or going directly to www.VenezuelaAnalysis.com/donate. From South America, for Venezuela Analysis, I'm Michael Fox.